Text is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 9 through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and myrrh. Grace, mercy, peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And Merry Christmas. Amen. When the star appeared, it surely caught the attention of some very special people. The Magi were probably astronomers, early scientists slash theologians who knew the skies and were aware that they had special meaning. In later centuries, down to the New Testament times, the term magi loosely covered a wide variety of men interested in dreams, astrology, magic, books thought to contain mysterious references to the future and the like. Science and religion in that day were not separate entities or studies. These wise men didn't compartmentalize different subjects of learning as we do today. They saw the different disciplines as being complementary, working together to bring about a better understanding of the world in which they lived. You may ask, how did they know the star was to point to the King of the Jews? I don't exactly know how they knew, but they did. And they came to find him. Being from the east, it's been suggested that the Magi were of Persian ancestry. But it's also possible that they were among the Jews who were exiled from Judah and Israel centuries before. One scholar notes that many Jews were mixed with this people, and there is little doubt. And that these Eastern Magi, or philosophers, astrologers, or whatever else they were, might have been originally of that class. These, knowing the promise of the Messiah, were now probably, like other believing Jews, waiting for the consolation of Israel. What I find interesting is the idea that there was a general expectation of a Messiah, a great man from Judea. You see, not very long after Jesus was born, there was a Roman historian by the name of Suetonius. And this is what he said. There had spread over all the Orient an old and established belief that it was fated at that time for men coming from Judea to rule the world. Tacitus, another pagan Roman historian of the same general period, wrote, "There was a firm persuasion that at this very time the East was to grow powerful, and rulers coming from Judea were to acquire universal empire." Surely they knew the verse that we read in the Old Testament lesson today, which is often cited at Christmas time, which says, "A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel." This was widely regarded by ancient Jewish scholars as a messianic prediction. But what was the purpose of the star? Was it to give these stargazers something to write about in their hometown horoscopes? I don't think so. Was it to give people something to speculate centuries down the line? Maybe it was a comet. Maybe it was a star that was only temporary. Maybe, maybe, maybe. But I don't think the purpose of the star was just to give us something to speculate about. Maybe the purpose of the star was just to add a special sentimental touch to their Christmas story all these years later. Not likely. I believe the star had but one purpose and one purpose alone. The purpose was to point the way to Jesus. It's really that simple, isn't it? The Magi followed the star because they knew it would take them to the King of the Jews, and it did. Tonight, as we light our Christmas candles, I want you to think on the fact that since the Bethlehem star is no longer leading Magi to the house where Jesus was, maybe we can do the work of the star. We can be used by God, just as the star was, to point people to Jesus, who was not only the King of the Jews, but is, of course, the Savior of all who call upon him. The question people might be asking might not be the same as the Magi, of course. You probably won't have someone from O'Fallon coming to you and saying, "Hey, where can I find the King of the Jews? If you do, call me." But they might say something like this: "Is there any meaning to life? Is there anything beyond our time on this earth? How can I know there's a God? How can I know that I'm going to heaven when I die?" And we can step in and say, "Please, let me show you the way to the Savior. He can answer all these questions for you, and he's waiting just to do that." So even though the star is gone, we can take its place. I believe it can be shown scripturally that we are to be just that, stars pointing to Jesus. So let's make that our challenge, not just during the Christmas season, but all year round. So let's light our candles and watch the glow grow in this building. And imagine the light of Christ spreading out into the darkness of our community, our state, our nation, and into the far corners of the world. Let your light shine. As the light comes forward, it will be passed out in the center aisle. Please don't tip a lit candle. So those who are holding the light would hold it straight up, those coming in the side. The sermon's not over. I have a few verses for you before you get too excited about watching the light grow. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He also said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." The idea is that we have received the light from Jesus, and we let it shine for the benefit of our family members and friends, who will in turn receive their own light to pass on to others. As a final verse for you to take home with you on this holy night, listen to the Apostle Paul, who wrote in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. So as we do this symbolically tonight, with candles aglow, may the Holy Spirit burn into our hearts the desire to shine like stars, giving light to our own generation, the light that will point them to Jesus, the King and the Savior of the world. Amen.